ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाद्विग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं संरामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्तिः रामकृष्णे स्थिता हि या सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां शारदां प्रणमाम्यहं। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय श्रोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृदुहे नमः। In order to remove the self-ignorance of Arjuna and in order to make Arjuna to do his duty according to dharma, Bhagavan Krishna is teaching the real nature of Atma. So far, Atma's real nature is revealed. Atma Nitya Vastu. It is eternal. Atma Satya Vastu. Being eternal, it is a real one. Any other thing which is not eternal, according to scriptures, we cannot consider them as real. We consider them as mithya or apparent existence. Then third one is Atma Sarvagataha. It is an all-pervasive entity, entirely different from body-mind complex. It is neither a part or a product or a property of the body, but it is an independent, separate entity which is all-pervasive one, which is not bounded by the limitations of the body. Then fourth nature is Atma Avinashi. Nobody can destroy Atma. Being eternal and being a real one, nobody can destroy Atma. Therefore it is Janma Marana Rahitaha. It doesn't have birth and death. Then fifth one is Atma Nirvikaraha. Atma doesn't have any change. Shat Vikara Rahitaha. Body has six types of modifications. Asti, Jayate, Vartate, Viparinamate, Avakshiyate, Vinashyati. It exists in a causal form. Body exists in a causal form and it comes to existence in the form of birth, and it grows, it changes, and it decays, finally it gets destroyed. So all these nature of the Atman is revealed from the shloka number 12 onwards. In the last class we saw antavanta ime deha nityasyokta sharirinah anashino aprameyasya tasmad yudhyasva bharata. This body, which is called anatma, which is jadavastu, is subject to janma and maranam, subject to birth and death, subject to changes, and subject to sukha and dukkha. But the atma, which is a avinashi or anashi, which doesn't have any maranam at all, but this deha, ime dehaha, Bhagavan quotes, ime deha means these bodies, bodies from abrahma stambha paryantam, bodies from even Brahmaji's body onwards, all the bodies are subject to destruction. And in that shloka, Bhagavan reveals one more nature of Atma, that is Atma is aprameyaha. That is pratyakshadi pramanaihi na prameyaha. Apramayaha means it is not available for any pramana. Pramana means instrument of knowledge. Three things are there. One is the knower, another is the known object. Knower is the subject, known is the object. Third one is instrument of knowledge. The knower is called pramata, known is called prameyam, and the instrument of knowledge is called pramanam. So when Bhagavan says atma is aprameyam, means atma cannot be measured by any instrument of knowledge. That means atma is not available for any instrument of knowledge, not known by any pramanas. Any pramanas means we have five sense organs and the mind. Mind is antar indriyaha. All other five sense organs are bahya indriyaha. So either through mind or through other sense organs, we cannot see atma at all. In Upanishad, nicely told, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. Neither the walk reaches the atma, that means neither the walk has the capacity to measure the atma, nor the mind has the capacity to conceive the atma. Because there are so many things in the world which are not available for our sense organs, which are available for our mental perceptions. Love, hatred, jealous, like this, you cannot see jealous, but it is in the mind, we conceive that. Similarly, here atma is not available either for mind or for sense organs. In another place Upanishad says, na tatra chakshur gacchati, na vaag gacchati, no manaha, na vitmaha. Atma cannot be reached by ears, or atma cannot be reached by eyes. That means no sense organ and mind can find the atma. Then we may say it may not be there at all, unnecessarily troubling ourselves. See, we can trouble ourselves only when it is proved that it is existing. Simply saying that it is there, it is there, it is there, is not going to make an entity an existent vastu, like a rabbit's horn. Even though 1 lakh people say there is a rabbit horn or there is a human horn, nobody has seen so far. Pramana lakshanabhyam vastustihi. Vedanta says to consider an object as an existing object, through two things should be there. One is pramana and another is lakshana. Suppose a person says there is a moon in the sky. How we know? Through the pramana called eyes, we know that there is a moon. And what do you mean by moon? All luminaries cannot be moon. So there is a definition for moon. Without a definition, without an instrument to know that entity, we cannot prove the existence of one particular entity. Here Shastra says atma doesn't have any definition also, atma doesn't have any pramana also to measure, to know that. That means it may not be there. Like in the last class I told that the emperor's dress, it may not be there. Just because certain rishis or some people told, why should I believe and why should I trouble myself? Here Shastra says, though it is not available as an object of knowledge, but still it is existing as the subject of all knowledge. It is a svata siddha vastu, self-evident one. If you want to verify whether somebody has come to class or not, you have to see through your eyes. But if you want to verify whether you have come to class or not, do you need eyes? No, you don't need eyes. So it is a svata siddha vastu, self-evident one. all other entities, all other things in the world needs proof for its existence except my existence. Na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhantihi kutoyam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Here Shastra says consciousness shines, therefore only all things in the world shine. Consciousness is known first, then only all the objects, other objects are known. So there is no proof for, there is no need for proof for Atma, because nobody can say Naham Asmi Iti Kaschit Na Veda, I don't exist. Nobody can say, because to say this statement the person should exist. I don't exist, nobody says, because nobody can say, because to say this statement the person must exist. In the presence of the Atma, self-evident Atma only, all the sense organs and mind gets their existence and power to work. That is why in the Keno Upanishad, Shrotrasya Shrotram Manaso Manoyat Vachoha Vacham Savu Pranasya Pranaha. It is not available in front of your eyes as an object to be seen, but it is available as a cause for the very eyes to work. It is available behind the eyes, it is not available in front of the eyes. Just because it is not available in front of the eyes, I cannot deny it. It is available as the cause for the presence of the very eyes are recognized because of what? Tamyeva bhantam anubhati sarvam. While doing arati in temples, they will chant this shloka. Natatra suryo bhati. In front of the consciousness, the sun never shines. Na chandra tarakam. Chandra tarakam means moon and stars. All are luminaries. These luminaries cannot shine in front of him, because he shines first, then only all other shining entities are known. Sun doesn't know that it exists as sun. A conscious entity only can know that there is a sun. To know that there is a sun, I should know that I am existing, then only I can say that sun is existing. Therefore, tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Therefore, I, the Atma, exist as a self-evident one. My presence can never be denied. That means the knower's presence, the presence of the knower can never be denied. The presence of the denier can never be denied. Because to deny the denier, you need one more denier. Anavastha dosha will come. So you cannot deny yourself. I am available in the form of a drik. I am available in the form of the knower, not in the form of the known object. I am available in the form of pramata, not in the form of prameyam. Atma is equal to knower. That means knower means mind is the knower. Mind also knows, na? Through mind I know so many things. Do you mean to say that Atma is equal to mind? Here Shastra says no. The real nature of the pramata is known by a wise man, that as a sakshi of the even pramata, when I say I know the mic, when I say I know the mic, what is the meaning? I know that I know the mic. I know that I know the mic. When I say I don't know the mic, I know that I don't know the mic. When I say I know English, I know that I know English. When I say I don't know English, I know that I don't know English. So the I know is a common factor as a sakshi. Because of my presence, in my presence only, the inert mind receives the capacity to know other things. There is a sun. You have a mirror. The original sun is reflected in the mirror. Therefore, there is another sun called reflected sun. Through that reflection, you try to illuminate the dark room. Sun is somewhere else. You have kept the mirror in one angle, because you are not getting sunlight directly to your room. You have put a mirror in one particular angle. The sun, original sun, is reflected in that mirror. That reflected sun illumines the dark room. Similarly, consciousness is like original sun. Mind is like a mirror. In that mirror, there is a reflected sun. That reflected sun cannot say, I am the original sun. Our mind is inert like mirror. Our mind cannot say, I am existing independent of Chaitanyam. Reflected sun cannot say that I am existing independent of original sun. Similarly, this mind, which is actually inert, cannot say I have independent existence. The very existence of mind is given from me, the Chaitanyam. The Pramata is called Chidabhasa. Sakshi of the Pramata is called Chaitanyam. Here, if I consider myself as mind, I consider as a Chidabhasa. Here Shastra says, you are not a Chidabhasa, you are not the actual knower, you are the Sakshi of the even the knower also. So, this is known by wise people. Every knowledge of any object presupposes me, the Sakshi Chaitanyam. I, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, is there in my presence. Mind, the inert thing, enlivened, and it gets the power to perceive the external objects. Though I am not available as a drishyam. Drishyam means an object of knowledge, like my chair, say, people, like the trees. So these are all an object of knowledge. Though I am not available as an drishya vastu, my existence can never be denied. Anything you see cannot be the consciousness, because the consciousness is the witness of all seen entity. If Chaitanyam is the drishyam, then drik will be jadam, which is impossible and illogical. I, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, can never be known as an object of knowledge. Yad vacha anabhyuditam yena vak abhyutyate tadeva brahmatvam viddhi nedam yadidam upasate. Upanishad says, whatever you get as a description cannot be the description of real nature of the Atma, because all the descriptions comes because of its existence only. Yen manasa na manute yena ahur manomatam tadeva brahmatvam viddhi nedam yadidam upasate. Yad chakshusha na pashyati yena chakshugamshi pashyati tadeva brahmatvam viddhi nedam yadidam upasate. In our meditation we meditate. It is a disturbing statement from the Upanishad. In our meditation we meditate. What we meditate? Meditate on Ishta Devata, on some Devata. Who is meditating? Who is meditating? A conscious entity only can meditate. Jada Vastu cannot meditate. Only a conscious entity can meditate. So the meditator is a conscious entity. Then the meditated thing which is in front of you as an object of meditation must be what? An inert thing. That's what here Upanishad says, yet chakshusha na pashyati, that which cannot be seen by the eyes, yena chakshugamshi pashyati, because of which the very eyes can see, tadeva brahma tum viddhi na idam yadidam upasate. That which you see in your meditation, or some people say, I have seen the Lord in front of my eyes, with open eyes. Shastra asks, have you seen? Yes, yes. Certainly have you seen? Yes, yes. Then Shastra says, it is not God. Because God is always in the form of the seer, the knower. Therefore, never work for experience of God. Never work for Deva Darshanam. Never work for experience of Atman. Anything you experience will be a Drishya Vastu, will be an object of experience. It cannot be the Sakshi Chaitanyam, you. You, the Atma, are eternally available in the form of I. It is available eternally in the form of I. Therefore only in the same Upanishad, yasya matam tasya matam, matam yasyena vedasaha avijnatam vijanatam vijnatam avijanatam. Upanishad says, if anybody says, I have seen the Lord as an object of my experience at particular time, morning 6:30 when I was in samadhi, I saw the Lord in front of me as a conscious entity. You could have read in so many books. Shastra here completely negates. Consciousness is never available as an object of experience. Consciousness is always available in the form of the experiencer, I. After teaching this, Guru in that Upanishad asked whether you have understood or not. The disciple told, Naham manye suvededi, nona vededi vedasya, yona tadveda tadveda, nona vededi vedasya. These are all highly philosophical and very terse shlokas, full of meaning. Here the disciple says, I don't know Brahman, not that I don't know Brahman, I know Brahman, I don't know Brahman. What does it mean? I don't know Brahman. Not that I don't know Brahman, I know Brahman, I don't know Brahman. The first statement is, I don't know Brahman as an object of my experience. Not that I don't know Brahman at all, I know Brahman as a subject of experience, as a sakshi of the knower. Therefore, I know Brahman in the real sense. I don't know Brahman as people generally call it. After giving the answer, the disciple told, one who has understood my answer, certainly they have understood your teaching also. So Upanishad is very, very clear with regard to the nature of the consciousness, that it is never available in the for any type of particular experiences. It is available all the time in all experiences as the knower of all experiences. Then the question will come, okay, if mind cannot know Brahman, if mind cannot know the Atman, if sense organs cannot know the Atman, then one more pramana is there, which we call Shastra pramana. People say through Shastra only you can know the God, because to talk about God you need Shastra. God is not available in marketplace or in road. Without any pramana, you cannot talk about God. So we say Shastra is the pramana. Whether the Shastra has the capacity to reveal the God, we ask. So Shastra says, no, I also don't have the capacity to reveal the God. Shastra also is a pramana. Brahman is aprameya vastu. Therefore, Shastra cannot measure Brahman. Then why should at all we study Shastra? Basic question has come. Unnecessarily coming by auto every week and 1 hour sitting. Why should we study at all the Shastra? Here, while commenting this shloka, Shankaracharya very nicely comments, Anatma dharma aropana nivartakam natu atma bhodakam. Shastra plays an important role in knowing the real nature of ourselves or real nature of the Lord. How consciousness is available at all the time in the form of I, the experiencer. Sakshi Chaitanyam. I, the Sakshi Chaitanyam. Shastra removes all the attributes which are superimposed on me. Whenever I say, what is our opinion about ourselves, anybody asks, who are you? We will say, I am so and so. I am so and so, son. Son of so and so. Father of so and so. Having this much qualification, all these are all attributes belong to either body or belong to mind. So what is the work of Shastra? Neti neti vachanai nigama avochuhu. You are not the body. So body, the word body, I am body. When I told, Shastra says you are not body. So body is removed. Na dehaha, na manaha. So these all these attributes which belong to the objects, which belong to the world, which belong to body, that is negated from me due to ignorance. When I identify with that body, Shastra says, no, you are a separate entity. The negation, Shastra is helping us to know the real nature of consciousness as our own sakshi. Our own real nature as Sakshi Chaitanyam by negating all the anatma dharmaha. That anatma dharma, the dharma belong to anatma, is superimposed on me, the I, the consciousness. So that anatma dharma is negated. I recognize, after going through the process, shastra vichara, I come to know, I recognize that I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor intellect, nor sense organs, nor any other thing in the external world as an object of knowledge. Therefore, never work for Atman realization or God realization. It is available, all this. So nobody can say, I never experienced Lord. Because keeping ourselves as Lord, due to ignorance, we consider that we are not Lord. We are not Bhagavan. Bhagavan in the real sense, our real nature and Bhagavan's, the Ishwara's real nature, both are same. This knowledge comes through Shastra Vichara. Therefore, Shastra Vichara is must. You should come every week. Still, Shastra doesn't have the capacity to reveal the consciousness. The consciousness reveals the very the Shastra is. I come to know that there is a Shastra. How? Because I am a conscious entity. The very Shastra is revealed by me, the consciousness. Consciousness can never be revealed by Shastra. The role of Shastra is removing all my anatma limitations, attributes from me, the consciousness. Here Bhagavan says, Atma is Nityaha, Atma is Satyaha, Atma is Nirvikaraha, Atma Aprameyaha, Atma Sarvagataha. After telling all these things, Tasmad Yudhyasva Bharata. He says, therefore you fight. What is the connection? So it is a beautiful therefore. In a commentary, nicely, Acharya says, only Bhagavan has the capacity to use this Atma Vidya, the highest spiritual wisdom, which is meant for freedom, which is meant for Nivritti Marga, wherein you give up all your ordinary duties, you give up all your attachments towards the world. The Atma Vidya is for those people who have already given up all those things, all the attachments. Taking that Atma Vidya, Bhagavan says, therefore you do your duty. It is a really wonderful and unique technique, a mischievous feat. Bhagavan Krishna is always mischievous. In teaching also, he is using that mischievous technique. That means, wherefore I should fight? Arjuna asks, Krishna, just now you told, I am Sarvagataha, I cannot do any action. Sarvagataha means all pervasive. All pervasive you think cannot do any action. All pervasive entity cannot do any action. Because action means movement. I am already all pervasive, how can I move? Movement is from one place to another place, where I am not there. Since I am available all the places, I am all pervasive, how can I do action? Wherefore I should fight? Yes, ma. Bhishma the Atma, Nityaha, Satyaha, Sarvagataha, Avyayaha, Asangaha and Aprameyaha. Yasmat, Bhishma the Anatma, Antavantaha, Agamapayi, Anityaha, Sukadukkadayi, Tasmat Yudhyasva. If you understand this teaching as a fact in your life, if you understand the teaching as a fact in your life, naturally your mind is detached from the body, actions of the body. Body will be the instrument in the hands of the Lord, so it will do all actions as loka sangraharsam. If you are a jnani, if you have understood this teaching that Atma, this is the real nature of yourself, still your body-mind complex will work. That's called, we call Jivan Mukta Avastha. All Jivan Muktas, all jnanis have this knowledge. And we find after having this knowledge also, they work incessantly. All beautiful things they do, which ordinary person cannot do. How they can work? The body-mind complex, so far which is considered as myself, is now converted as the instrument in the hands of the totality called Ishwara. So it is working, it is going to work its own way as the Loka Sangraha. Loka Sangraha means for the welfare of the world. And I am not at all attached. Prakrite kriyamanani gunaih karmani sarvajaha. The prakriti, that is body mind complex, is called prakriti. It belongs to the world. From world, from panchabhuta, it has come. Therefore only it is called panchabhautikam. So this prakriti does all actions. I have nothing to do with that. This knowledge is a fact for a jnani. Arjuna, if you consider yourself as a jnani, then also you cannot say, I will not fight. Because to say, I will not fight, you should have body-mind attachment. Then also you cannot deny that, I will not do my duty. If you don't understand this teaching as a fact, then you are a ajnani. Ajnani means you have to become jnani. To become jnani, you have to prepare yourself. To prepare yourself, you have to do your swadharma, which is in the form of fighting. Therefore, tasmat yudhyasva. It's a beautiful tasmat. I like this tasmat. The logic is here, you are all pervasive entity, you can never do any action, therefore you work. There is no therefore at all. You are all pervasive entity, you cannot work, therefore you should not work. Bhagavan has to tell. Here Bhagavan says, you are all pervasive entity, you cannot work, therefore you work. So very subtle tasmat, mischievous tasmat. If you understand this as a fact in your life, you will not obstruct the actions of the body-mind complex. This body-mind complex will be an instrument in the hands of the Lord. When it becomes the instrument in the hands of the Lord, this body-mind complex is used for loka sangraha, for the well-being of the entire world. All jnanis work. If you don't understand this teaching, then you are ajnani. Being ajnani, your purpose of your life is to become a jnani. To become a jnani, you have to prepare yourself. For jnana prapti, to prepare yourself, you have to do your duty. Therefore also, you should do your duty. Therefore, yudhyasva. Due to ignorance, so far, you have this notion that I am the doer, I am the warrior, I am going to kill my relatives, kith and kin, and because of that I am going to get lot of papa and other problems. Due to ignorance you are thinking. In fact, Atma is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. This idea is conveyed in the next shloka, 19th shloka. Yaenam veti hantaram yashchainam manyate hatam ubhautau na vijanito nayam hantina hanyate. This shloka is actually borrowed from Kathopanishad. Bhagavan, when he speaks, he cannot speak directly. He has to speak with Shastra Pramana, because Gita is a Smriti Shastram. So there must be a validation from Shruti Shastram called Upanishad. In Kathopanishad, the same idea comes. Hantaschen manyate hantum, hatashchen manyate hatam, ubhautavna vijanitaha, nayagum hanchina hanyate. Second line of that mantra and this shloka is same. First line is little bit, words are changed, but the meaning is same. In this shloka, Bhagavan reveals, Atma is akarta, not doer, is not a subject of any action. Atma is abhokta, not the enjoyer, is not an object of any action. In the presence of Atma, all the actions take place. Like in the presence of space, in the presence of sunlight, so many actions are taking place, isn't it? Neither the sunlight nor the space can deny any action. It has to accommodate all types of actions. Bombing action also it has to accommodate. And doing puja action also, the space has to accommodate. In its presence only, all these actions are happening. But the space is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. Sri Ramakrishna nicely used to say, in the presence of light, a person does some worship and gets punya. And in the presence of light, same light, a person forges a check. So we cannot call light and give punishment to the light. In the presence of the light, in the presence of the space, these things happen, but space or light doesn't have doership or enjoyership. It is not a doer or an enjoyer. Like a cinema screen. So many things are happening. Where? On this cinema screen only, quiet screen is it. Fight is there, music is there, duet song is there, war is there, bombing is there, bleeding is there. After that, nobody washes the screen. Why? After showing the cinema, nobody washes the screen. Similarly, Atma is not at all affected by any action. Therefore, it is not a doer, it is not an enjoyer. Bhagavan wants to say, Arjuna, that you, the Atma, is neither the killer, and Bhishma, the Atma, is not killed. Your problem is, I am the doer, I am going to be a killer of my own relative called Bhishma. So Bhishma is going to be killed. Here Bhagavan says, you the Atma, neither the killer, and Bhishma the Atma, nor the killed. Yaha enam hantaram iti veti. One who thinks that Atma is a killer. Yaha cha enam atmanam hatam iti manyate. And another one who thinks that Atma is killed by someone. See, Arjuna is thinking that I am going to be a killer. Bhishma is thinking that, supposition, Bhishma is thinking that I am going to be killed. Here Bhagavan says, ubhau tau na vijanitaha. Both are ignorant. They don't know the meaning of the word I. Since they have identified themselves with the body, the actions of the body is considered as their own action. There are two meanings for the word called I. One is general popular meaning, vachyartha we call it. Whenever we ask who are you, naturally we never say I am all pervasive entity. We never say. If we say, then our own people will think something has gone. After going to Ramakrishna Mission Saturday class, something has gone. So we never say that I am all pervasive consciousness. We always say I am so and so, son of so and so, father of so and so, having so and so qualifications, working in so and so place. That means I always identify myself with my body mind complex only. There is another meaning which we call a real meaning, lakshyartha, that is sakshi. Why we don't know the real meaning? Because of ignorance, we consider that the actions which belong to body as our own action. And when we get the proper understanding, then we will detach ourselves from the body. We will allow the body to do its own action in its own way. According to its prarabdha, it is going to do all actions. Prakrute kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashaha. At all situations, I am not the doer at all. That's what in Bhagavata, one situation comes. Durvasa Rishi came to see Krishna. Somebody informed, Durvasa has come. So Rukmini Devi told to Krishna, Durvasa Rishi has come, he is sitting on the bank of the Ganga. So Krishna told, take all nice things, butter and other things, eatable, and go and make pranam and tell my pranams also. So Rukmini Devi along with other women, she went with all nice eatables. She fed Durvasa Rishi. Then Durvasa Rishi wanted to go back. Then he stood in front of Yamuna River. Then he told, Yamuna Devi, if I have not taken any food at all, then you give me the way. Give me the way means Yamuna Devi should give the way inside the river. Yamuna is very deep. So immediately Yamuna Devi gave way, and this man was walking nicely. Seeing this, Rukmini Devi, what is this? Yashtu Shullu is there. He is telling, like, just now he nicely fired all butter and other thing. Now he is telling that if I am fasting for the last 1 month, you give me the way. And Yamuna Devi also is giving way. How is it?
So entire world has become now asatya jagat. Entire world is becoming now what you call telling lie. Then she was surprised and came to Krishna and told, like this happened. Now maybe Kali Yuga is going to start. That is the reason like this happening. Then Krishna told, no. It is exactly the fact. Fact like I am the Nitya Brahmachari, like that he told. Hearing this, Rukmini Dev, what? You are Nitya Brahmachari. Nitya Brahmachari means not married. Never married. Having 16,108 wives, he told, what Duryodhana Rishi told is a fact, like the fact that I am the Nitya Brahmachari. Then Rukmini Devi could not understand, what is this? Everybody, Bhagavan also started telling lies. He told small lies for butter and other thing. Now he is claiming that he is Nitya Brahmachari, and that to me. What is the meaning of that? Their identity is at a different level. According to them, they don't do any action. According to the Jnanis, they don't do any action. They cannot do any action being all pervasive entities. So here Bhagavan says, you have to know that. You should understand what is the real meaning of the word called I. What is the real meaning? I am Atma na hanti. Atma cannot kill anyone. Killing action is the representation of all actions. Here the context is war. Therefore the word killing is used. Atma cannot do any action. Why? Sarvagatatva. It is all pervasive. All pervasive thing cannot do any action. And avikriyatvat, Shankaracharya writes nicely, avikriyatvat, it cannot go undergo any change. Vikara, avikaratvat, like space cannot destroy anybody, na? Have you heard any time that space has destroyed? People can destroy another thing, because one limited thing can destroy another limited thing. Can space destroy anybody? Water can destroy. Earth can destroy. Air also can destroy. Fire also can destroy. Can space destroy anybody? So it cannot do any action. Not only that, I am Atma na hanyate. First sentence is I am Atma na hanti. It doesn't kill. Second statement is I am Atma na hanyate. Atma cannot be killed by anyone. What is the reason? Same reason, sarvagatatvat, asangatvat. Like a cinema screen cannot be polluted by World War II film. There is a film called World War II. In that film, plenty of bombs were there, and Hiroshima, Nagasaki, everybody died. But after finishing this film, nobody cleans the screen. Because asangatvat, there is no relationship at all. Like space cannot destroy anybody, space cannot be destroyed by anybody else. Space cannot destroy. Similarly, space cannot be destroyed by anybody also. So this is a very, very crucial shloka with lots of significance. By telling this, that you are not the karta, what Bhagavan wants to say is, you don't have any karma phala at all. Only a karta can have karma phala. Only a doer can receive the fruits of his actions. Since you are not at all a doer, you are not going to have any results, karma phalam, in the form of punya and papa. So you cannot have any punya and papa also. Therefore you cannot have janma also, because janma is decided by punya and papa. Since you cannot have janma, you cannot have maranam also. Birth, death, punya, papa, sanchita, agami, prarabdha, karma, these are all belong to body mind complex only, not to you. Entire humanity suffers due to this kartrutva buddhi only. Entire humanity suffers. Anybody you are, why you are suffering? Yen madali? It is my karma phala, it is my prarabdha, it is my papa karma. Something, it is kala. Something they will tell. Why? Because the kartrutva buddhi is there. Even Yudhishthira had this kartrutva buddhi. After the war, Mahabharata war, he refused to take the kingdom. He told, because of me, entire Kuru Vamsha get destroyed. So therefore, Bhagavan took Yudhishthira to Bhishma. Then in Shanti Parva, all these teachings again it comes. Due to attachment and identification with the body-mind complex, an ignorant person thinks that he is the doer and he is the enjoyer. Now, this shloka is in the form of pratijna vakyam. Pratijna vakyam means a proposition. You are Arjuna, you are not a doer, you are not an enjoyer. Next question will come, how? That is called reasoning or hetuho. The answer is coming in the next shloka. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha ajo nitya shashvatoyam puranaha na hanyate hanyamane sharire. This shloka also from the Upanishad, Kathopanishad. Silently, Bhagavan borrows all these ideas from the Upanishad. There some words are changed. Na jayate mriyate va vipaschit nayam kutachinna babuva kaschit. Like that, Kathopanishad, second valli, 18th shloka it is. This shloka, suddenly meter is changed, you see. So far we have yayenam veti hantaram yashchainam manyate hatam, one tune. Here, na jayate mriyate va kadachit, lots of words added. So meter also changes. The change in the meter is to get attention from this student. If you want to tell something important thing, you have to get his attention. He may be already bored all the time. Atma, Satya, Nitya, Sarvagataha, like that. Suddenly Bhagavan wanted to get your attention, so he sings in a nice tune. This shloka has lot of philosophical meaning and it gives the hetu, reason for the proposition pratijna vakyam, which is told in the previous shloka. Atma is akarta and abhokta is told in the previous shloka. How? Because atma is nirvikaraha. Nirvikara means free from all changes. Action is nothing but movement. Movement is nothing but a change, isn't it? I change the position of my hand from this place to another place. That is called action. So since atma is nirvikaraha, free from all modifications, atma is cannot be a karta and it cannot be a bhokta. What are all the modifications? We have already seen in the introduction. There are sixfold modifications. Asti, jayate, vardhate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. It existed in the causal form as a karana sharira or as a sukshma sharira, and it comes to existence with a physical body and it grows up to 20th age, and viparinamate changes 20 to 40, then apakshiyate, graph comes down. After that graph is higher. So he jumps, this fellow jumps with all nice hairstyle this way, that way. Then after 40, slowly he comes to know there are joints, there are legs, there are teeth, because everything is aching. So decay, it starts getting decay, then finally perishes, going back to its own seed form or causal form. All objects in the world, all objects including my body, are subject to of these six modifications. But I, the Atma, is free from these changes. In this shloka, the modification called birth and the modification called death, birth and death, two modifications. These two modifications are negated three times. In this shloka itself, repeatedly, again and again, he says, you don't have birth, you don't have death. You don't have birth, you don't have death. Like that, repetition is a mistake. It is a weakness of a teacher. You should not repeat same thing. But Bhagavan here repeats three times the very same shloka, same idea. One is na jayate mriyate. Second thing is I am bhutva Avita. After coming to existence, it is not going to become non-existent. That means it is not going to die. Then third one is Ajaha Nityaha. All these words are there. While commenting, Shankaracharya nicely comments, because one Acharya's work is to show the greatness of other Acharya. He cannot show that previous Acharya is a weak Acharya, therefore he has repeated three times. So he says, first Najayate Mriyate is a Pratijna Vakyam, headline. Then Nayam Bhutva Bhavita Na Bhuyaha is the explanation. Then Ajaha Nityaha is the conclusion. Once again, headlines. In TV news it comes now. Similarly, to emphasize the fact that I, the Atma, is not subject to birth and death, Bhagavan repeatedly says these things, but in the form of Pratijna Vakyam, in the form of Hetu, and in the form of Hetu means in the form of reasoning, and in the form of Nigamana Vakyam. So here, in the shloka, Na Jayate means Na Utpatyate, there is no birth to Atma. Na Mriyate, no death to Atma. Kadachit, never at any time. Generally we say, after studying the Vedanta, after gaining the knowledge, I don't have rebirth, he says. Bhagavan, he says, you don't have birth at all. Where is the question of rebirth? Kadachit, at any time, never you have been born. You means Atma. That should be kept in mind. Kadachit na jayate, kadachit na mriyate cha. I am Atma abhutva bhavita iti na. Very terse words. Only if you follow the shloka closely, then you can understand. But this much you keep in mind. This Atman does not have the transition from non-manifestation to manifestation. Generally we say, when a child is born, what we say? It has come. When somebody dies, what we say? It has gone. Who has gone? Who was here so far, up to yesterday, now he has gone. Here Bhagavan says, Atma doesn't have either coming or going. Therefore, yasmat na jayate, tasmat ajaha. Since it is not at all born, it is called unborn. Ajaha, one more meaning is there, goat. Ajaha, if you go and refer in the Sanskrit dictionary, Ajaha, Atma is goat. No. Here, Jaha means that which is born. Ajaha means it is a negation of birth. Yasmat na jayate, tasmat ajaha. Yasmat na mriyate, tasmat nityaha. So these are all two things. In between, other modifications are there. Intermediary modification. Jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, then mriyate. So jayate, mriyate is negated. Now, in between, stages are negated with the word shashvataha. Shashvataha means na apakshiyate. There is no decay. It is not going to be decayed. And puranaha. Puranaha means na vardhate. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. That means na viparinamate. All the other modifications also negated. More details about this we will see in the next class. It's a little bit terse words. In conclusion, Bhagavan will make Arjuna to understand that you are an all-pervasive entity. You cannot do any action. Where is the question of action called killing? And Bhishma, the all-pervasive entity, cannot be killed by anybody. Where is the question of killing Bhishma? Therefore, you have to do your swadharma from the standpoint of, if you are an ignorant person, you do your swadharma. If you are a jnani, then also cannot abstain from the activities of the body-mind complex. Being the instrument in the hands of the Lord, that body-mind complex should be used for the loka sankarahartam. Those details we will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranathakleshanashaya Govindaya Namo.